There were anxieties about the protection of the Lord. That the Lord gave protection to the Lord. He should be pacified. And Shaitan Lord, in his pastimes, he manifested in many, many fold ways that nature of the Lord, that compassionate nature of the Lord. How often did the devotees run anxiety? And again, Shaitan Lord would pass it by the devotees. That's not what he heard. And then in that particular incident, then Shaitan Lord would stop his words.
Jatanagaradigram will be spread to every town and every village on this planet. He made that prediction. This is how, in a practical way, the Supreme Personality of God had exhibits His causeless mercy, His compassion toward the fallen conditioned souls by spreading the Sangatan movement. And along with the spreading the holy name, the Lord also gives the association of the devotees. In order to spread or chant the holy name, we have to have devotees. The non-devotees, they cannot. Even that is amazing. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he spoke that verse, he reminded everyone why he descended into this world. And he predicted that when the holy name will spread to every town and village, then even those who are demons, he said, he used that word, asuras, those who are demons, those who have no interest whatsoever in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in His devotional service, they will cry in ecstasy in this age of Kali, chanting the holy name of the Lord. That means compassion. And although the conditioned souls reject the Lord, they have no interest in Him, and somehow He thinks of various ways constantly how to deliver them. And that mercy, it manifests through the devotees. The Lord Himself, of course, exhibits that compassion. And it also manifests through the devotees. Just like yesterday when I had the darshan of the Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, I was literally stunned. I did not know, I had no idea how to reciprocate with that incredible compassion which was emanating from him. He was concerned in that condition he is in. It is beyond the human dimension. It is not possible. He was even thinking of those who are not very compassionate by nature. He was thinking of their welfare. He was naming a few that we should look after them. Some of them, they have no interest in looking after the welfare of other devotees. But he was thinking of their welfare. He requested that we should look after them. That whatever fraction of devotional service has been there, he remembers, just like the Lord. He remembers. And he wants to reciprocate in such an overwhelming way. Here we had a practical example how the compassion of the Lord just emanates profusely from His pure devotee. And Radhanath Maharaj also mentioned to me how one group of devotees, congregation members, some of them are not very much involved with the activities of Krishna consciousness, and how they had also His darshan. And they experience a complete change in heart. Is it not that you mentioned, Maharaj, that one of these persons, he he said, after this darshan, my entire life has changed. He was crying, completely changed. So that's why it is so important when pure devotees of the Lord become empowered by the compassionate nature of the Lord, that we have to take advantage of that. We have to seek by any means to receive even a drop, a tiny drop of that compassion. We require that. That's another manifestation of the Lord's mercy, the association of devotees. There's one nice verse in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Bhagavat tulashi gangaya bhakta jane chatuda vigraha krishna eich harisame. That chatuda, four, besides the holy name of the Lord also appears in this world in the four different vigraha, four different forms. Bhagavat, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavat Tulasi, Tulasi Devi Gangaya, the Ganges, and the Bhakta Jani, which means the association of devotees. These are also four forms, vigrahas, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So it is so important to cultivate properly the association of devotees. Yesterday, Bhaktivedanta Maharshi, every word was shastra, full of wisdom and very, very important instructions. Like he made the point that when devotees are in difficulties, at that point we become more aware of the necessities of the devotees. But he mentioned that usually only takes place in the case of leading devotees, prominent devotees, what we consider as important devotees. But then he mentioned, what about those who are not so prominent, who are more in the background, humbly performing the service year after year, for so many years, not being very much prominent, humble devotees. They sacrifice their whole life. If they have some difficulties, who cares about them? So, as long as the devotee is with us, as long as we have the association of devotees, it is so important to take care of them. He pointed to that lack, deficiency in our society. It is a great social deficiency to properly take care of all the devotees. Whatever little or more meaningful, more extensive difficulties they might have, it is our duty to take care of the devotees. And just see how Lord Krishna takes care of his devotees. Count the yard, that's why Srila Prabhupada quoted that verse. Count the yard, patajanihi, nami bhakti panashati. Arjuna, you declare it boldly. Srila Prabhupada mentioned that double emphasis. The Lord, he gives that double emphasis just to make sure. He himself, of course, he keeps his promise always. I was just the other day reading that incident with the Parijata flower. Lord Krishna, he stole from the heavenly planets just to keep his promise. Lord Indra, of course, he didn't appreciate this very much. And out of illusion, he even challenged the Lord. What do you think? Who was victorious? Who was successful? So he, in so many ways, of course, Lord Krishna keeps his promise. Akrura also, very beautiful verse. He prays in one verse to the Lord. What learned person would approach anyone but you for shelter? When you are the affectionate, grateful and truthful well-wisher of your devotees, to those who worship you in sincere friendship, you reward everything they desire, even your own self. This is a verse spoken by Akrura. And Lord Krishna also had promised Akrura that after killing Kamsa, he would visit his home And now the Lord kept his promise. Akriya recognized and glorified the Lord as Krita Giraha. Krita Giraha means one who by any means keeps his promise. The Lord, surely he keeps his promise. If he wants to favor the devotee in whatever way, he will do so. And nothing can stop the Lord from that. But still, sometimes out of love for his, precisely out of love for his devotees, it might happen that the Lord, he does not keep his promise. And so just to double emphasize that that the Lord will keep his promise, he requested Arjuna. The Kshatriyas by nature also, they keep their promise. This is the nature of a Kshatriya. If they promise something, they will make sure they will keep the promise. And Arjuna, the Pandavas, they had this reputation. They were very, very truthful. Whatever they promised, they did in so many different ways. So at least Arjuna, you promise. Because people might point out that I broke my promise here and there. But you don't have that reputation. So you declare, on my behalf, you declare that I will always protect my devotees. And here again we can see a practical example how such an exalted Vaishnav has surrendered his life to the Lord. And just see how the Lord protects his devotee. He just protects. He gives so much protection that the devotee, he can profusely emanate and freely give out that protection of the Lord, that compassion of the Lord. It also sends such a strong message out to the world that we should not underestimate the devotees in Srila Prabhupada's movement. What exalted Vaishnavas. It is the last test in our life. The last test for how Krishna conscious we are when we have to face this crucial moment of leaving this world. And just see how these exalted Vaishnavas pass this test in such a wonderful way. And in such difficult circumstances, glorifying the Lord, glorifying the devotees, thinking of the welfare of the devotees and of the non-devotees as well, thinking about the welfare of the entire world. How is this possible? So he pointed out the necessity of, as long as we are in the association of devotees, it is our utmost duty to take nicely care of them. And we should sincerely attempt to fulfill that wish, to take nicely care of the devotees. And in some places it is developing, in other places it is developing not so much. I'm visiting often far away places, Russia, Mongolia, and this is not so much developed. And it really causes pain to an advanced devotee to see how others sacrifice their whole life for the devotional service and so much little care is there for these devotees. So that could be changed somehow. This will give so much pleasure to advanced devotees, to the devotees in general, and of course for the entire world. So I would like to stop at this point. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you very much for a wonderful portrayal of Bhaktikirti Maharaj's divine mood of compassion. And I would like to pose a question that is hard to...
I couldn't hear this.
It is hard to formulate my question, so please bear with me. I just want to know how, what recourse... what channels, what way the simple devotees can take to help one another when possibly it could be some of the troubles could be fairly obviously, let us hope we're not making much of nothing, seem to be coming from the top. So how, what recourse do we have within our society or as individuals to help one another?
I have to try to understand the question properly first. So you say if the trouble is coming from the top, what do you...
If that happens.
What do you mean?
As we've seen in the past, that sometimes people in higher positions, as even gurus, have caused abuse to other individuals, you know, the simple, dedicated individuals, and how we can now kind of be more open about this and speak our minds in a way that the repercussion in the past, if you say something, then you're history, you're gone, and nobody wants to see you because you're blasphemous. But sometimes there are issues, as we've seen, and I would just like to know what we can do to, in a mature, healthy way, address things and not hide from them.
General devotees are advancing in their Krishna consciousness, and those, as you mentioned, are on the top. They also advance in their Krishna consciousness. And as far as I can judge, that we definitely have a number of very exalted, very advanced devotees who are on the top, who occupy leading positions in our movement, and they are certainly open and willing, perhaps even more than some of the other devotees. Because naturally they also, being in that position, they are also thinking day and night how to improve Srila Prabhupada's movement, how to improve situations. And such discussions are happening among those leading devotees. And they are very, very open. They're seeking for, they want to hear the opinions of the rank and file devotees, so to speak. They want to hear feedback. They want to learn from the past. And they want to improve. So I feel we just have to create that mechanism that the concerned devotees can approach leading devotees and discuss practical issues, practical problems, how to deal with those problems, how to go about those problems, come to some consensus and then put it into practice. It is happening. We might have individuals who are not so flexible, not so willing to adjust themselves according to the necessities of the advancement of Srila Prabhupada's movement, the progress of Srila Prabhupada's movement. But then these are individuals. It does not represent the modus operandi of this movement. This is not a representation. Individuals, yes, there might be shortcomings in so many different ways. We might perceive shortcomings in individuals. That has been the case in the past, even in Srila Prabhupada's presence. We had a number of leading devotees, not very Krishna conscious in their dealings with others. Still, they performed tremendous service. Srila Prabhupada recognized that. So that happened in the past during Srila Prabhupada's presence. That certainly happened after Srila Prabhupada left us. It is presently, to some extent, going on. But I'm optimistic that as the general devotees advance more and more in their Krishna consciousness, as the leading devotees advance more and more in their Krishna consciousness, I'm optimistic, hopeful, that eventually Srila Prabhupada's movement will find that proper balance of having to deal in very practical terms with our daily material practical affairs, all the external aspect, and as well as our internal affairs, how to properly cultivate our Krishna consciousness, how to properly cultivate the association with other devotees, etc., and how to deal with the key problem I believe we really have is how to properly associate with each other. It is described as a science, even as a science, how to properly associate with each other among the association among Vaishnavas. It is a science. How to associate with more advanced devotees, equal advanced devotees, less advanced devotees. How to see yourself as a servant of everyone. You never demand service from others, never demand respect from others. Just the opposite. The less advanced devotees you don't demand, you want to serve them by training them in Krishna consciousness, helping them in Krishna service. The guru wants to serve the disciple. He wants to teach, help him, assist him in so many different ways. He wants to serve. And the others as well, the disciple wants to serve guru. There's a service relationship. But if that service aspect is taken out, all the problems begin. That's the root cause of all the problems. When we forget that we are servants. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Mother Tarini has raised such a delicate question. I appreciate your optimism. I'm also optimistic, mostly. And I could still feel her pain, and so I was trying to think, what can I contribute to this discussion? And I remembered when Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj first came to Gita Nagari, we were having these Vaishnava institutes that lasted for a week or something like that, and one of the courses that he taught was topics like homosexuals, women, and something else. It was like topics that were volatile, that no one wanted to touch. And he brought forward different aspects of these social realities. And I remember when he was speaking about women, this was after he had been sort of on the side of ISKCON for a number of years, just coming back. He had not participated in things that went on. And we had experienced the leaders at the time coming into a situation where there may have been some abuse and saying, well, I wasn't here, it wasn't my fault. And at his class, he actually apologized. He said, I want to personally apologize on behalf of all of the leaders of this movement for the pain that we've caused. And one of my god sisters, she left the class just weeping after so many years of no acknowledgement. So when you were speaking and you said the word science, because of your accent at first I misunderstood and heard silence. And I feel myself also guilty that many times when I have seen, when I first heard about the abuses to the Gurukula children, I was exactly as you described, that, oh no, if I make waves, this will create a problem. Better for me to go on with the simple process of Krishna consciousness. And I said nothing. And I did not go to the people who have now become some of the leaders in the you know, hateful attacks against ISKCON. They were here. They're a young boy. I knew Nirmal Chandra. I didn't go to him and ask. Maybe that could have prevented. So I think, if I can contribute anything, it's that just acknowledgement sometimes can be so, just letting someone know that you hear their distress, even if we don't have the answers. It's such a positive, valuable thing. And what to speak of apologizing on behalf, like Bhakti Kirti Maharaj did. What a hero. So I just wanted to add that.
And also apologizing, yes. And then do something practical. That's the second phase. In practical terms, you have to improve the situation. Yeah, a very wonderful point. Yes.
And when there was some difficulty, there was a venue, there was a place to go. You know, if you didn't agree with this guy or that guy, you went up ultimately to Srila Prabhupada and he would correct that problem. Or at least you felt heard. And the GBC body is supposed to be in that position. But I'm not sure, as just a rank and file devotee, as you described, or you know, just a general devotee, what is our venue? Our who do we appeal to? I see my godbrothers, sannyasis, and gurus who are, you know, wherever they go, there's like a huge line outside their door waiting to make those complaints or waiting to get some kind of, and it's so draining on them. They can't even give us what we need, and that's the Transcendental Association that you mentioned. You know, there's these senior devotees that can give us certain association. And I'm just wondering, what avenue do we take? I mean, is there a letter writing scheme? What I've seen is a lot of devotees go to chakra or something and just vent. And it creates this schisms in our movement, because there seems to be some kind of a lack that, you know, there's, who do you write to? And I'm wondering if you could just address that.
It is a problem. Again, take Srila Prabhupada as an example. So we lead us approach Srila Prabhupada with the problems they perceive. And Srila Prabhupada certainly, more than any of us, of course, he was very concerned. And he gave instructions. And I'm trying to say that although Srila Prabhupada was present, still some problems went on and continued. Although Srila Prabhupada was present. Take Lord Krishna as an example. Although Lord Krishna was present, still so many unnecessary things. Even the Lord himself, every day one demon tried to kill Krishna. How is this possible? Krishna, I don't want to justify anything. I'm just, so how can you expect, we have a GBC, all problems are gone. It is very, very difficult. It is a puzzle for myself too. I don't know the answer. I myself am flying from one emergency meeting to the next emergency meeting. It's not easy. So that's the mechanism nowadays. A letter of complaints to the chairman. We may have emergency meetings, discussions, and try to solve as much as we can. Sometimes it works, sometimes not. Then again, we have relationship problems, lack of trust. And we all had so much faith and trust in Srila Prabhupada. This way we felt Srila Prabhupada's presence, and we should continue having faith and trust in Srila Prabhupada and continue to feel Srila Prabhupada's presence. And still, in a practical way, how to solve these problems, that's beyond me. I try whatever I can. I'm very limited. I cannot do much. The other GBCs, I know them by now. They try in their way. We come together, we have subcommittees, we discuss problems and issues, and we try. So leadership is important, proper leadership. At the same time, the individual devotees also have to try to make proper advancement in their Krishna consciousness. And why? The delicate issue. Very delicate. At least those places I'm going to, I notice that tendency to, in one sense, that's my perception, to look too much up to the leadership. I'm telling them, why don't you become leader too? You take responsibility. Don't overexpect. When I encountered severe difficulties in relationship, and when I was, a younger devotee, that solution was given. That why you expect so much expectation from others? You take leadership, you develop an area, you focus on your service, and give a better example. But of course we have global issues. We have principles in Krishna consciousness, and they have to be protected and followed, and that's true. So at least on those we have to sincerely focus, like child protection and global issues. I think that's a prime necessity. But as far as more local difficulties are concerned, it is difficult. I mean, that's my practical experience. It's very, very difficult to deal with these innumerable local difficulties. It's very difficult. And that's the expectation from the leadership, that individual local devotees should take on more active role, responsibilities, and step forward and inspire the leadership. That you see, we had our discussions, we worked this and that out, it works wonderful. So here is an example. But what is more inspiring? The leadership also becomes uninspired of this. Just too much complaints. Just one after the other, and no. Normally, if you give a complaint, you should try to attach a solution to it, a possible solution. See, this is the problem, that's the conflict. We thought of 2-3 alternatives. What do you think? That's very inspiring. But just, that's a difficulty, that's a problem, do something. And that's very difficult. So I believe this is what the leadership expects more. The offering practical solutions. Suggesting solutions, practical solutions. Then it's a relationship of based on practical service. We suggest that service as a reciprocation. Leadership suggests their service, and that's a true relationship. I feel sometimes that it tends to be more one-sided. That's the conflict, do something about it. It is not easy on being on a GBC body for some time. It's not easy. Very difficult. And a number of GBCs, they're meditating very strongly to not be, to give up their service. It is not an ecstatic role to be in. But I believe it becomes ecstatic if there's a proper service relationship. Now, how can we serve? And it's reciprocation, how can we serve? Let us discuss how to practically serve Srila Prabhupada's movement. Rather having a relationship of demanding, accusing, that also it has to be done, I understand. But to some extent, and then let us talk about practical solutions. Hare Krishna.
I know it's getting late. Thank you very much for your class. One of the points you made in the class, Maharaj, is
one of the basic things in our philosophy that Krishna's devotees will never perish. And sometimes there appears to be so many inconsistencies physically and mentally to that foundation.
Physically
and mentally. With the devotees. And I specifically was thinking about my own spiritual master, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, and how I see him in terms of material vision. Physically, his body is suffering, it's deteriorating, it's having so many difficulties. And at the same time, I fully understand, well, I don't fully understand, I do understand theoretically that Krishna's devotees will never perish. So my question to you, Maharaj, is how can I stay focused in that understanding and knowing that it's the body and understanding the philosophy and but really have this imprinted in my heart that Krishna's devotees will never perish.
It reminds me of Srila Prabhupada being in Vrindavan and one, I forgot the age, 12, 14, I forgot, one girl, she also had to, she had cancer diagnosed, and she was very upset naturally about it. And this was brought to the attention of Srila Prabhupada, to Srila Prabhupada's attention. And I just remember how Srila Prabhupada continuously, this is the way Srila Prabhupada reacted on that anxiety of that devotee girl, that he repeatedly said, try to understand, nobody will able to stay, nobody can stay in this world. Nobody will stay. Prabhupada just repeatedly, he repeated that point, nobody will be able to stay. And at one point, that's the description I got, that she began to realize. She accepted the fact that she cannot stay, just like any of us. Whether it happens in this way or some other way, and Krishna protects his devotee, if the body is destined to, I mean, if the soul is destined to give up the body in whatever way, then still Krishna protects the devotee. And this we can clearly see, how Krishna protects the devotee. Because we only see the external side of it. That Krishna protects the devotee in his Krishna consciousness, the way he perceives the pain, that's a protection. If Krishna would not protect, then it is just pain and nothing else. And that means suffering. But how a Krishna consciousness fully, Krishna consciousness devotee perceives that pain, that is Krishna's protection, it is different. That this pain brings the devotee closer and closer and closer and closer to Krishna. We have so many other examples. Haridas Thakur, if you just see the external aspect of it, how is this possible? How can Krishna allow this to happen? To be caned over 21 marketplace houses. It's impossible. How does Krishna protect the Haridas Thakur? There's so many other examples. So just from the external point of view, it is difficult. But Krishna protects his devotees. And especially when we read Bhakti Thirumala's writings, his recent writings, that gives us such a divine insight of that perception. How he sees the Lord Krishna's hand in that whole incident, what happens. He clearly sees the Lord's hand. It is a loving hand. But we cannot see that hand. So that we just have to leave up to the Lord. If he wants his devotee back, it will happen in this or that way. That is beyond our control. Of course, if the Lord wants his devotee back, then we are fighting. No. It is a loving fight. Same with Srila Prabhupada. We didn't want to let Srila Prabhupada go. And Srila Prabhupada, sometimes he toggled back and forth. All right, then let me stay. But then again, no, the Lord wants me to go. Then the love of the devotees, okay, then let me stay. In this way he tries to find a compromise. Then let me stay a day longer. But if the Lord wants the devotee back, we can do whatever we want. And then yes, then we are being forced to cultivate a relationship with our spiritual master, what Srila Prabhupada always used to emphasize, the Vani more important than Vapu. How often Srila Prabhupada repeated this? Then we have to take shelter in that association that to us perhaps unknown dimension of association, how the instructions are non-different from the spiritual master. No difference. And if the disciple takes shelter in that association, he will never feel disassociated from his spiritual master even for a moment. Although the body might be gone, he always feels his presence. So I would really like to stop at this point. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.